Amen. Turn in your Bibles right now to Isaiah chapter 28. I'm so happy that after our second service today, we're going to be having five baptisms, and we praise God for that. Amen. Five people baptized in the precious name of Jesus. The Bible says, for the remission of sins. Amen. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Then our wonderful technical team can do this as well. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says in Isaiah 28, this is a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Everyone say, this is the rest. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. He's talking about with stammering lips and another tongue. And he says, this is the rest. This is where the weary can find rest. And Isaiah says, this is the refreshing. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, if you can turn there as well. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. It says in verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would not he afterward have spoken of another day? So he's speaking of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. I want you just to stop there, and we go down to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Everybody say that sweet word, rest. I got your attention, eh? Rest. I want to ask you today, if God was going to speak to you, and if God would speak to you directly, and I believe he will today, if God would speak to you directly, would you do what he said? Because there is never a time when you come into the house of God where God will waste your time. He will speak. If your ears are ready to hear and your heart is ready to receive, God will speak to you. And then it comes down to how you will respond. And so God is going to speak. His word will not return void today. And if God speaks to you, I encourage you, I exhort you to do what God says. Today I want to speak about supernatural rest. Amen. Supernatural rest. Lord God, we love you today. Lord, we're just thankful that we can be in your presence today. We thank you for the promise, Lord God, that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're there in the midst. And Lord God, we can feel you here today. And Lord God, now, Lord, I pray as the word comes forth, Lord, I pray that I would be no hindrance today to what you want to do in this place. And Lord God, what you want to do in people's hearts. Lord God, that I would be no hindrance, Lord God, in what you want to say. So Lord God, use me, Lord God, as a microphone from heaven. Lord, hide me behind the cross, Lord God. Use me today to deliver a word of hope to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. I knew that I would get your attention when I said rest. I knew I might get your excitement when I said supernatural rest. The reason why rest sounds so good is because really, life can be very stressful. Everybody say stressful. No, it's not just your imagination, and no, it's not just you. You might say today, well, I thought it was just me. I thought it was just my life that was stressful. But decades of research across hundreds of thousands of people have point that we are facing in the year 2022 a full-scale stress epidemic. People are stressed out of their minds. Now, a little while ago, when we started having computers come in and all that sort of stuff, and we got phones and all sorts of technology, people told us that life would be a lot easier In fact, somebody once said that with all the technology coming in, the challenge is not going to be, you know, the challenge is going to be finding what to do with all of our spare time. Now, I wonder if there's anybody here today that is really challenged about what to do with all their spare time. I mean, this is one of the things they said to us that we would be facing in the year 2020, you know, when we had technology, that our biggest challenge would be, what are we going to do with all the spare time we've got because we've got all this technology? But today I want to talk about a supernatural rest. I'm not talking about having a sleep or a Sunday nap or just going to bed early or putting your feet up and going on a holiday. I'm talking about something more than that. I'm talking about a supernatural rest. For the Word of God says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. And in this stressed out world, I want to know what that rest is, and I want to experience that rest. Somebody say amen. Let me give you a little Bible study, and if you've known me for any time, you know that I like to talk about the types and shadows of the Old Testament and how they are fulfilled in the New Testament. Because the Old Testament is full of types and shadows. Everyone say types, and everyone say shadows. In fact, these Old Testament types and shadows point to Jesus. I said last Sunday, the Old Testament is Christ concealed and the New Testament is Christ revealed. And so in the Bible, if we go to John chapter 1, verse 45, we have an account where Philip, the evangelist Philip, finds Jesus and recognizes him as the Messiah. And so when Philip goes to speak to Nathanael, he revealed why he thought Jesus was the Messiah. And Philip says these words in John 1, verse 45. Philip says, we have found him. Everyone say, we found him. Philip says, we found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets, they wrote about him, Jesus of Nazareth. We have found the one who was being prophesied in the Old Testament, who was being foreshadowed by types and shadows. Philip says, we have found him, the one that Moses was speaking about in the law, the one that the prophets were prophesying about. We found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip clearly understood that the Old Testament was full of types and shadows that were pointing to Jesus. But even more than that, Jesus said himself that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament types and shadows. In Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and I put them up there, probably a little bit too small, but Jesus says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning him. Where did Jesus start? He started at Moses and the prophets. He started in the Old Testament, and they said, these things concern me. And so the Old Testament truly was Christ concealed. It was types and shadows. It was like a room full of treasures, but the light was dim. You couldn't quite understand it all, but it was pointing to Jesus. In Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus said, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So Jesus is saying the Old Testament is full of prophecies, types, and shadows. Even the Psalms, they point to me. In John chapter 5, verse 39 and 36, Jesus says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. And then it goes on to say, for if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. And so a lot of people, sadly, I think maybe this trend's gone out the door, thank goodness, but a lot of people think that you don't actually need the Old Testament. But it's the Old Testament that gives you the richness of the New Testament. It's the two together. The Old Testament is full of types and shadows, and we see the plan of salvation, even all the way through the Old Testament. And so Don't get rid of your Old Testament. It's full of types and shadows. And Jesus even said, the Psalms, he said, they testify of me. And so a shadow. A shadow, I guess, is a good way to describe Jesus in the Old Testament. Because shadows give an idea of what something looks like, but it doesn't reveal the actual object. It gives you an idea of what it looks like. And my wife didn't fall in love with my shadow. She fell in love with me, the object, the real thing, you know. And so here it is. Don't fall in love with the shadows in the Old Testament. Look to the fulfillment, which is Jesus Christ. Don't fall in love with all the prophecies and the types and shadows and the feasts and all those sort of things. No, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of them. You wouldn't want to fall in love with a shadow when you can fall in love with the real thing. Everybody say Jesus. And so in the Jewish feasts, they also point to Jesus. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come." Those things, those feasts, those holy days, those Sabbath days, they are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Those things are a shadow, but the essence is Jesus Christ. Don't fall in love with those things. Fall in love with Jesus. And so each of the feasts, the Jewish feasts, they had a literal fulfillment in Israel. They were literally fulfilled in Israel. But then they had a typical or a type fulfillment in Christ. And then those feasts have a spiritual fulfillment in the church. This is probably a good point that if you want to take a note and say during the week, I'm going to go and dive a little bit deeper because I can't cover everything. But there are seven feasts and they can be divided up into three groups: Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Pentecost, everyone say Pentecost. There was a feast in the Old Testament, okay? It was a feast then. But in the New Testament, it was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was poured out. Next Sunday just happens to be Pentecost Sunday. And so next week is Pentecost Sunday. And so there in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we see the fulfillment of the Old Testament type, the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th. Everybody say 50th. It was originally a Jewish feast that was held 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, if you can turn there in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, it calls Christ has become the first fruits. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 to 23, it says here, but now is Christ risen. Everyone say he's risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And so Jesus was the first of the harvest to rise from the dead. And so the Jews in the Old Testament were told from the Feast of First Fruits, they were to count seven Sabbaths. Okay, so 7 weeks, which equals 49 days, and then they would celebrate the Feast of Pentecost on the 50th day. All right? So from the feast of First Fruits, 7 Sabbaths, so 7 weeks, 3 weeks of 7 days, and then on the 50th day, they would celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Now, Jesus was crucified on Passover. Everyone say Passover. But he rose from the grave on the Feast of First Fruits. He was seen alive, so he rose from the grave on the Feast of First Fruits. He was seen alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. And then he ascended. And what did the 120 do? They went to the upper room and they tarried for how many days? 10 days. And so 40 days he was seen. The risen Savior was seen. They tarried 10 days. And then what happened on the 50th day? The Holy Spirit was poured out in that upper room, and it was on the day of Pentecost. I can't really go into all of it, but the Jews refer to, Pentecost was there when Moses gave the Ten Commandments. The Jews refer to this day as the birthday of Judaism. After they arrived into the promised land, Pentecost marked the wheat harvest. It was a time of rejoicing because they made the promised land. But the Old Testament church may have been formed on the day of Pentecost, but the New Testament church was formed on the day of Pentecost as well. That was the beginning of the New Testament church, for they gathered there to be endued with power from on high. And they had a prayer meeting for 10 days. As they prayed in the upper room, the Bible says there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That was the birthday of the New Testament church. And so we see it through types and shadows of these feasts being fulfilled. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, it says something different. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it was being fulfilled. All of those types and shadows in the Old Testament were being fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And so on the day of Pentecost, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, they made it to the promised land. They celebrated there their deliverance from Egypt. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we celebrate our deliverance from the world because we have been endued with power from on high. We now are entering into a supernatural rest. We have had a supernatural experience with God. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, everybody say rest. Sabbath. Sabbath is another type that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they had a day of rest, the Sabbath. And in the New Testament, we don't have a day of rest, but we have a spirit of rest. We read about it. We read it in our text. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Now, we read in the Ten Commandments that it says, keep the Sabbath day. Now that has caused a lot of contention throughout the years. Do we have church on Sunday? Do we have church on Saturday? What about the Sabbath? But we read in creation, when God created the heavens and the earth, that he rested on the seventh day. But we never read after that of any of the patriarchs resting. If we look through Genesis, there's no mention of the first man or woman resting on the Sabbath day. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the scriptures don't refer that they rested on the Sabbath day. So for the first 2,500 years of mankind's history, there is a notable silence concerning keeping the Sabbath. It was not until the children of Israel came out of Egypt. What were they doing in Egypt? They were in slavery. They were in bondage. They were making bricks and they weren't getting paid. And when God delivered them out of Egypt, they were safely on the other side of the Red Sea. And God said, he said, I'm going to give you a day of rest. He instituted it. It was a sign between Israel, the Jews, and God. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 16, verse 22 to 23. And so the command to rest on the seventh day was not directed to any other group or nation, only to Israel. And God said it will be a sign between me and them. Why? Because in Egypt they had no rest. They were working like machines. They were working, they were in slavery, all of those things. And when they came out, God said, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you rest. And I tell you today, when we live, Egypt is another type. It's a type of sin. Egypt is a type of sin, and God calls us out of sin. Sin is bondage. Sin is like a taskmaster that rules us, captures us, will not release us. Sin is just like Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin. And when we come out of sin, when our sins are washed away in the waters of baptism, yes, the children of Israel went through the waters. We also go through the waters. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Come out of Egypt, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you receive the rest. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. This is the rest, and this is the refreshing. And there is, as Hebrews says, a rest for the people of God. And I submit to you today that that rest is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when you receive his Spirit and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you enter into that rest. Everybody say rest. And so God is still in the business of taking you out of something and taking you to something better. And so rest. The Sabbath day, that Sabbath was between the Jews and God. He gave them rest because they had been in bondage and slavery. And the fulfillment of the Sabbath is in Jesus Christ. And when we are filled with his Spirit. You see, there are some things you need to understand about the Ten Commandments and all the laws. In fact, there's more than 10 commandments in the Bible. There's 600 plus laws in the Bible, and you can categorize them into civil laws, which are like our road rules and laws of the land, civil rules that governed the community at the time. Then there are ceremonial laws, which have to do with worship and dealing with our sin. And back in the Bible times, they would have to bring sacrifices to the temple and sacrifice it for their sins to be forgiven. And then there are moral laws. Now, those ceremonial laws, all of those ceremonial laws of worship were fulfilled, and they were abolished when Jesus died on the cross for us. He became the sacrifice. He became the lamb. He died for us. The veil was rent. You don't have to go through all those ceremonial religious practices. You can boldly approach the throne. But the civil ones, they apply to the time then. And the moral ones, they still apply. Why? Because God can't change his morals. If God hated it then, he still hates it now. Imagine having a God who changes his morals all the time. And so the Sabbath was part of those ceremonial laws. And so let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. What was the fulfillment of the Sabbath? Colossians 2, 16 and 17 says, so don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. They are shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. And that's why Jesus can say in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He invited them. He said, come. And he said, I will give you rest. Stop looking to a day. He said, stop looking to the shadows and the types. He said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, Jesus is not a rest that we just have once a week. But when you establish a relationship with God, you can have rest every day because our rest is in Jesus Christ. And he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I want to tell you today, you can find a supernatural rest in Jesus Christ. You can find a supernatural rest when you are filled with his Spirit. You can find that rest. And we live in a world that is so unsettled and so stressed. Everybody's trying to find something to fill the void in their heart. I'm here to preach again on this Sunday that only Jesus can satisfy you. All you need is Jesus. Don't bother calling Dr. Phil. Just call on Jesus. He said, if you call on me, I will answer you. I will hear you. Oh, just call on me. You will find that rest. Everybody say rest. And so Jesus is the fulfillment and his spirit is the fulfillment. Let's go down to Acts chapter 1 verse 5. Actually, just go to Acts chapter 1 and look at two portions of scripture there. In Acts chapter 1 verse 5, Jesus said, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is getting ready to ascend. Here he says, you shall receive power in verse 8. But here they are, and being assembled together in verse 4, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so here they are. The disciples are getting ready for Jesus' ascension, which if you read in verse 11, you see that Jesus ascends, but they're getting ready for his ascension. They're no longer going to have Jesus in human form there, you know, with them. And he says, don't worry. He says, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Go to Jerusalem and tarry. Go and wait, and you're going to be endued with power from on high. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 2. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I submit to you today that this is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. In Isaiah 28, he said, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Supernatural rest. Supernatural rest. And I'm going to explain a little bit later why the Holy Spirit is supernatural rest. But the Holy Spirit is also a comforter. Everybody say a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. In John chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Okay, we're like, oh, another. Okay. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Okay. But you know him. For he dwelleth with you. Who dwelt with them? Jesus. And look at this. For you know him, for he dwelleth with you and is now going to be in you. And then what does Jesus say? They're looking for another. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. And so who did they know? Jesus said, you know him, but you're not just going to know him. You've been with him, but now he's going to be in you. They knew Jesus. Who dwelt with them? Jesus. And so this comforter is the Spirit of Jesus himself. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so today, that Holy Spirit is the promised rest. That supernatural rest that God wants to give everybody in the world today. The New Testament fulfillment, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost. In the New Testament, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of that Sabbath rest. And God said, he said, I'm going to give you a rest. There is a rest for the people of God. And so someone may say to you, Why aren't you so stressed? Why do you seem so calm when it comes to some things? Why do you seem so calm? Why do you seem so level-headed? You say, you know what? I got Jesus with me. He's not just with me, but he's in me. I found a rest for my soul. They say to you, I had one brother say to me, he said, before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, I had to work so hard just not to sin. He said, I couldn't do it. As much as I tried to work in my own strength, not to sin, it was just like I was banging my head against a brick wall. I couldn't do it. But he said, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, God began to give me power over sin. He gave me power to live for him. He gave me power to walk in victory. He gave me power over temptation. I want to tell you, there is a rest for the people of God. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, the Spirit of God is still being poured out for whosoever wants it. Hallelujah. You can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit in the Bible. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit like they were in the Bible. If the musicians can come now, there is rest for the distressed. There is rest for the stressed. Zechariah in 4 verse 6 says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And there are going to be times when we say, I don't have any might. I don't have any power. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know. I don't have the strength. But the word of God says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And maybe you're like that brother who testified to me. Maybe you're sick of your sin. Maybe you're doing everything in your own strength to try and live righteously. Let me tell you, it's not by might nor by power. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can have power over sin. Acts chapter 19, as we finish, you can go there in your Bibles. Acts chapter 19. I love this account, because we have a group of disciples. They're gathering there, and Paul comes to Ephesus, Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples. So maybe they're having a Bible study, maybe they're having a prayer meeting, but they were followers of Jesus. They were Christians, they were disciples. And Paul said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, some people will tell you that you get the Holy Ghost when you believe. That's all you need to do. But Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost? He didn't say when you believed. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? In other words, disciples, there's more for you. God's got more for you. And they said, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, well, how were you baptized? And he said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto them that they should believe on him which should come after them, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so what about the Holy Spirit? They were just baptized in water. And then when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And so the challenge still is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you found that supernatural rest? Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. You can read that in John 16. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. In John 16, 13, the Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. If you want to know how to pray and you don't know what to pray, the Bible says the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray. The Spirit produces fruit in our life, spiritual fruits. The Holy Spirit anoints us for ministry, when we minister to others, and sometimes we don't even know what to say. But when you're filled with the Spirit will anoint you to speak to situations. The gifts of the Spirit come when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says it washes us and renews us. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the seal. The Spirit seals us to the day of redemption. In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, the Holy Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death. When sin used to reign in your body, the Holy Spirit sets you free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit reveals the deep things. Everyone say the deep things. The deep things of God. You see, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to read the Word of God, things begin to become illuminated to you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit begins to reveal the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit enables us, in 1 Peter 1:22, enables us to obey the truth. In Acts chapter 9, the Holy Spirit comforts us. The Spirit gives us power over sin. I want to tell you, by living in the Spirit, we can enjoy a Sabbath rest every day, every minute, every hour. I want to tell you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you have the Spirit of Jesus inside of you, you have a supernatural rest. Wherever you are today, I want to tell you, there is a rest for the people of God. Let's stand all across this place right now. There is a rest for the people of God. And I want to encourage you today to be hungry for more from God. Don't be happy where you are. You see, those disciples in Acts 19, they were in Ephesus. They were having a Bible study. They were living for God. They were doing what they knew. And then Paul comes and he says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they wanted more. So they got baptized. And when they were baptized, Paul laid his hands on them and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Supernatural rest. Supernatural rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What the world needs is rest for their troubled souls today. And maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, it's been a long time. I feel like I'm in turmoil." Let me tell you, maybe you need a refilling of the gift of the Holy Spirit today. Maybe you need to be filled again to overflowing. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you today that God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let's lift our hands all across this place today. Maybe you need a fresh touch from God today. Whatever you need, it's found in the presence of God. Let's get into the presence of God today. Don't worry about those that are around you. Let God move on your heart. Let Him fill you with the Spirit today. I believe God wants to fill somebody today. God wants to fill them with His power. Go and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Hallelujah. Come on, church, lift your voice. Come on, let's just cry out to God right now. Hallelujah. Oh, we need it, oh God. Lord, we know, Lord, in you there is rest for those that are stressed. There is rest for those that are distressed. Oh God, there is rest in you, oh God. We are weary, oh God. We are heavy laden, oh God. We're bearing burdens that you don't want us to bear. Help us to bring them to you today that we may find rest for our souls. This altar's open today. Maybe you need to come and kneel before the Lord and pray. Bring your burdens to the Lord. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd love to pray with you, just like Paul prayed with those disciples at Ephesus. I'll pray with you. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit today. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you didn't leave us comfortless. Lord God, while you were here on earth, oh God, Lord, we see your disciples had so much faith. But God, when you got ready to depart, Lord God, they were distressed, but you promised, you said, Lord God, that you're going to give them the Holy Spirit, that you're going to come a comforter, that you're going to fill them with power from on high, that you're going to give them a rest, oh God. Lord God, you're going to help them. Oh God, we need that today, Lord Jesus. In the year 2022, oh God, we declare in this house, we need that rest. We need your Spirit, oh God. Fill us afresh and anew, we pray in Jesus' name. We're going to worship the Lord. Come to this altar. If you need a fresh touch from God, come find a place at this altar. Come get into the presence of God. There is a rest. There is a supernatural rest for the children and the people of God.